Turn in your Bibles tonight to Ezekiel chapter 22. Ezekiel chapter 22. I want to remind you again about the rally. If you are going, we would appreciate it if you would sign up. If you would be interested in riding a bus, if you would put a check mark by your name, I think we've got 38 check marks as of right now. So not sure how late we can wait to talk to the bus people. Maybe we can go ahead and talk with them, but 38's getting closer. So keep those things in mind. Also, the Mr. Creech has got flyers back there. And if you could take some and you know places where they can be put up, then we would appreciate that as well. As Mr. Creech said, they won't be much good after the rally. So let's get them out. We want to read verse 30, Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 30. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we ask you to bless our study of your word tonight. We thank you for these who have come. We thank you for your presence with us. Wednesday night is a hard service. People have worked, they're tired. But we pray that you might rejuvenate us as we look into your word. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight we want to continue looking at the things that Dr. Beatty and Return America have emphasized that we need to take a stand for. And we're doing that as a way of underscoring in our minds the importance of this Stand Up for America rally that is coming up in just a couple of weeks on the 29th. And one of the things that this rally gives us an opportunity to stand up for is a person. And that person is Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson. As we mentioned Sunday morning, we need to contact the Lieutenant Governor's office. You probably will find out, or you may find out, that the mailboxes, the voicemail boxes, are full, but that's okay. You can send them an email, number of people on his staff that we can email. But we want him to know that we support him for his stand that he's taking in this state, because he's the only elected Republican in this state that I know of that has the courage to say what needs to be said. It certainly is not the noteworthy President pro tem of the Senate, Mr. Berger, who was asked today about Mark Robinson and his comments, and he very, with his backbone stiff and straight, said, Mr. the Lieutenant Governor's critics need to talk to him. That's the kind of leadership we've got in the Republican Party. And the Lieutenant Governor is under withering attack right now. The source of the attack is a group known as Right Wing Watch. You can look them up on their website, rightwingwatch.org. I want to read you what they say about themselves. They say that Right Wing Watch is a project of people for the American way. Some of you are old enough to remember when the People for the American Way got started. They say that the People for the American Way is a progressive, that means they are a liberal Democrat advocacy organization founded to fight right-wing extremism and defend constitutional values, including free expression, religious liberty, equal justice under the law, and the right to meaningfully participate in our democracy, unless you are a Christian who stands for the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. People for the American Way was founded in 1981 by a television producer by the name of Norman Lear and Barbara Jordan, a late congresswoman, I think, from Texas. There was also a group of business, civic, religious, and civil rights leaders who were disturbed by the divisive rhetoric of newly politicized televangelists. I think that was probably Pat Robertson and Jerry Falwell, among others. Advocacy affiliate People for the American Way was founded soon after. People for the American Way was created to be an important shield against the very right-wing extremism we're now up against. That, according to Senator Elizabeth Warren. From what I could find, since 2004, People for the American Way has received $2.6 million from liberal billionaire George Soros. So these are the people that we are up against. These are the people that have are attacking Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson. As of this morning, when you went to the Right Wing Watch website, right there on the homepage, first thing that comes up is a picture of Brother Mark Robinson with the headline, North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson says transgender rights movement is demonic and full of the Antichrist spirit. And when you click on that, the article begins with an attack, calling the lieutenant governor a Christian nationalist. And they show the clip that of him speaking at the Ashbury Baptist Church in Seagrove back in June. And one thing I forgot to mention about Right Wing Watch, I'd hate to have to say that five times real quick. Their purpose is to monitor and expose the activities and rhetoric of right-wing activists and organizations. Our researchers monitor dozens of broadcasts, and I suspect that they monitor sermon audio. Ashbury Baptist Church is on another platform. I can't remember the name of it. Certainly, sermon audio is not the only one out there. But they're monitoring these broadcasts. They monitor emails, websites, and use their expertise to analyze and distill that information from media. Channel 5, another story tonight, and for allies and the general public. By shedding light on the activities of the right-wing movement, we help expose the risk in its extreme and intolerant agenda presents to our country. And so they show the clip, if you go to their website, where Mark Robinson said, there's no reason anybody anywhere in America should be telling any child about transgenderism, homosexuality, any of that filth. And then in August, Brother Mark spoke at the Upper Room Church of God in Christ in Raleigh. And immediately, as they start their little article about that, they describe the church leader there, Bishop Patrick Wooden, as a, quote, vehemently anti-gay pastor. This is where Brother Mark said that the transgender rights movement is demonic and full of the Antichrist spirit. But I want to read you what he said leading up to that statement. He said, here's something else I'm not supposed to say. Ain't but two genders. You can go to the doctor and get cut up. You can go down to the dress shop and get made up. You can go down there and get drugged up. But at the end of the day, you're just a drugged up, messed up, made up, cut up man or woman. You ain't changed what God put in you, that DNA. I love this guy. You can't transcend God's creation. I don't care how hard you try. The transgender movement in this country, if there's a movement in this country that is demonic and that is full of the spirit of Antichrist, it is the transgender movement. Now, what I want us to do for a few minutes is think about these two statements that right-wing watch is so bent out of shape about. The first one, there's no reason anybody anywhere in America should be telling any child about transgenderism, homosexuality, any of that filth. And then the transgender right movements is a demonic and full of the Antichrist spirit. First of all, when the lieutenant governor referred to transgenderism and homosexuality as filth, he wasn't just expressing his view of these things. He was expressing God's view of these things. I'd like for you to turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 22, if you will. Deuteronomy chapter 22. This is a verse that we ought to have in our spiritual arsenal. Deuteronomy 22 and verse 5. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. This verse is not only addressing cross-dressing. This verse is going much deeper than that. This verse is addressing where cross-dressing leads, and that's transgenderism. This verse is telling us that when a man or a woman takes it upon themselves to take on a sexual identity other than that, other than the one which God created them with, that it is an abomination to God. An abomination to God. Now turn over, or rather turn back to Leviticus chapter 18. Leviticus chapter 18. This is another verse that we need to have in our spiritual quiver. Leviticus chapter 18 and verse 22. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Now we need to be warned, or forewarned and forearmed about something. When we quote these verses, you'll come across people who will say, that's Old Testament. That's the law. And they may have just enough spiritual knowledge to say, we're not under the law. We are under the law. And it is true, we aren't under the law for salvation. Romans 3 and verse 20 says, therefore by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. And Galatians 3:24 tells us that the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith, not by the works of the law. And so Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. But Christ did not come to do away with the law. There's an interesting verse in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17 where the Lord Jesus said, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. And just so we don't miss it, he says it again in the same verse. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. The Lord Jesus did not come to destroy and do away with the Ten Commandments. We know that to be the truth because commandments, particularly 6 through 10, are the basis of our code of laws in this country. And if you continue reading in Matthew chapter 5, what you'll find is that the Lord Jesus expands the Ten Commandments. He expands on what it means to kill someone, for example. If you're angry with your brother without a cause, God says, you've killed him. He expanded what it means to commit adultery. Whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her in his heart. So the Lord Jesus did not destroy the Ten Commandments. They're still very much in effect. And so is Deuteronomy 22 and verse 5. And the law against transgenderism. And so is verse 22 here. And the law against homosexuality. They have not changed. They haven't changed. God did not remove them. They're still there. And God said both of these things, transgenderism and homosexuality, both of them are an abomination to him. Now I want you to look at verse 24. Defile not ye yourselves in any of these things. For in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. The nations that the Lord cast out before the children of Israel, they were practicing these things. Their land was defiled because of them. Verse 25, and the land is defiled. Therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. Now, notice verse 27. For all these abominations, transgenderism, homosexuality, all these abominations have the men of the land done, which were before you, and the land is defiled. The inhabitants of the land that Israel was going to possess, they had committed these things. And God says they're abominations. And in Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 16, the Lord tells his people how they came through these nations. In verse 17, he says, ye have seen their abominations. Ye have seen their abominations. And what abominations is the Lord talking about? Well, he's talking about all their abominations. And those abominations include transgenderism and homosexuality. And here's what's very interesting. One of the meanings of the word abominations in Deuteronomy 29 and verse 17 that God is using to describe the sins of these people, and that includes the sin of transgenderism and homosexuality. One of the meanings of that word in Deuteronomy 29:17 is abominable filth. Abominable filth. Folks, that is not just Mark Robinson's view of transgenderism and homosexuality. That is God's view of it. Abominable filth. He counts it filthy. It is a stink. It is a stench in his nostrils. And so when the lieutenant governor says there's no reason anybody anywhere in America should be telling any child about transgenderism, homosexuality, any of that filth, Mark Robinson is agreeing with God. He's agreeing with the God of heaven. But how about his other statement that the transgender rights movement is demonic and full of the Antichrist spirit? Well, turn over to the book of Daniel, if you will. Book of Daniel, chapter 11. Daniel chapter 11. And look at verse 36. Daniel chapter 11 and verse 36. And the king shall do according to his will. So Daniel is writing about a king that is coming in the future. And the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that is determined shall be done. Now, this wording here in Daniel chapter 11 and verse 36, the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of heaven. That wording takes us into the New Testament, to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, where we read about that man of sin, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. We're reading here in the book of Daniel about the coming Antichrist. And notice what we read in verse 37 concerning this coming Antichrist. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women. Now that brings up a question. If the Antichrist does not regard the desire of women, then would he not regard the desire of men? I believe the suggestion of this verse is that the Antichrist may be a homosexual. Now think about something. The bride of Christ is the church. And how's the church referred to in the scriptures? Revelation 19 and verse 7 says, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife, remember, the Lamb is the bridegroom, and his wife hath made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white." Here in the last book of the Bible is marriage, the way that God established it in the first book of the Bible. Here is the last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, being joined to those who were taken from his side, just as Eve was taken from the first Adam's side. Here he is being joined to those who were taken from his side and washed in his precious blood. His wife, the church, his wife who has made herself ready. So there's exactly the kind of marriage between a man and a woman that God established in the beginning. But now here's the other thing to think about. Satan is the great imitator. He's the great counterfeiter of God. And what greater counterfeiter could there be? What greater blasphemy could there be than the Antichrist being a homosexual and being joined, being surrounded by who? The LGBTQ. And folks, it would not surprise me if there was not a marriage supper of the Antichrist, where that would take place. This marriage. Folks, why do you think we have same-sex marriage? It's Satan's counterfeit of real marriage. It's Satan's counterfeit of the marriage between the Lord Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. In 1 Timothy 4:1, we read, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." Folks, transgenderism is a seducing spirit. It is a doctrine of devils, just as homosexuality is. And so Brother Mark Robinson is exactly right. The transgender movement, which is part of this LGBTQ movement, is demonic and is full of the spirit of Antichrist. The complete manifestation of it will come in the 7 years of tribulation. And these demonic and these spirits of Antichrist, those forces, the very forces of hell, I don't think it's an overstatement to say that, have been unleashed against the lieutenant governor of this state. One thing he said at that church in Raleigh is very true. He said, "It's time for grown-ups and time for Christians to start standing up and being unafraid to tell the truth." And he's doing that. The headline on Channel 5 yesterday kind of says it all. Lieutenant Governor Robinson, angry, defiant, amid controversy over LGBTQ comments. They showed the protest today out in front of the lieutenant governor's office. They're doing everything they can to fan this. They fear this man, folks. They fear him. You know why? They don't want him to run for governor in 2024. They want to damage him as much as they can. This man, Mark Robinson, is making up the hedge and standing in the gap. And he and his situation brought to mind something that I heard in a message that Dr. Bob Jones III preached probably 30 years ago. It's a statement that, according to what I could find, it's a statement that was made by an African pastor, and it was found in his papers in Zimbabwe after he was martyred for Christ. It's called My Colors. And as I thought about this thing and as I read it, I thought about Brother Mark Robinson. This African pastor wrote, "I'm a part of the fellowship of the unashamed. The die has been cast. I have stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I'm a disciple of his, and I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense. My future is secure. I'm done and finished with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, mundane talking, cheap living, and dwarfed goals. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotions, plaudits, or popularity. I don't have to be right or first or tops or recognized or praised or rewarded. I live by faith, lean on His presence, walk by patience, lift by prayer, and labor by Holy Spirit power. My face is set, my gait is fast, my goal is heaven. My road may be narrow, my way rough, my companions few, but my guide is reliable and my mission is clear. I will not be bought, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice or hesitate in the presence of the adversary. I will not negotiate at the table of the enemy, ponder at the pool of popularity, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I won't give up, shut up, or let up until I have stayed up, stored up, prayed up, paid up, and preached up for the cause of Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus. I must give until I drop, preach until all know, and work until He comes. And when He does come for His own, He'll have no problem recognizing me. My colors will be clear. Brother Mark Robinson's colors are clear. And folks, our colors need to be clear. We have an opportunity to do that on October the 29th. So I hope you'll be praying about this rally. And I hope that you will, if you can, I hope you'll attend. We need to have thousands of people there. I'm asking the Lord to give us 15,000 people. And then I feel guilty about that. Maybe I'm underselling the Lord there. But that's what I'm asking Him for. I think the most that we've ever had at a rally there in Halifax Mall is 12,000, I believe. So I'm asking the Lord to give us 15,000, at least. It'll make a difference. It'll make a difference. And Brother Mark Robinson needs to see 15,000 of God's people standing behind Him. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank You for the opportunity tonight to go over things that we know. Your people haven't heard anything new tonight. They've just heard things that we need to be reminded of. We pray that You would help us. We pray that You would help Brother Mark Robinson to stand for You and to not back away. Help us to express our support for him. And we do pray that You would bless this rally. Father, we pray that You would give us thousands, 15,000. Give us more to make a statement to the people of this state that we mean business for You. We pray that You would bless Dr. Beatty and Dwight and Richard Callahan and Donnie Oates and Matt Morrison, the board of Return America, as they plan and prepare. And we pray that You would use this rally for Your glory and honor. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.